This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Fireworks, and more fireworks. Hopefully you'll get to see a show. If not in person, just sit back on that old couch and kick back and flip around on the tube, and there's a couple of them going on in New York, Washington, California. You'll be able to find some really good ones. It's fun to watch them. I am a fireworks person. There's people who classify themselves as non-fireworks lovers, and I certainly know some animals who are not firework lovers. My new dog, Guinness, I say new, we've had him for 2 years, he loves fireworks or can tolerate them. Mahalo, the other golden retriever, not so much. So kind of remember that if you jam out of the house to go and watch them live. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Boy, speaking of fireworks, the Supreme Court set off a few of their own. And I'll tell you, one of the major rulings that was talked about in the, well, not talked about, this is the ruling that was handed down, is the fact that migrants are certainly happy about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Again, it was different when Trump was in office, and there was the clampdown on people coming across, meaning they had to be processed first, and it was a no, go back to Mexico rule. But a group of Nicaraguan asylum seekers who are waiting at a shelter at the Mexican City border town of Tijuana were pretty excited. This is one of, I saw them on a couple of different interviews, including in the USA Today, because of the Supreme Court decision that would allow President Biden to scrap the Trump immigration policy. So that's a 5-4 decision, and that means that people can come across. Asylum seekers in Mexico welcomed that decision. It was called Remain in Mexico, and it was designed to deter people from coming over the border, but now it's gone. It's lifted. And it's interesting, the ruling on immigration was a major, major blow to the Biden administration. I mean, a huge blow to the policy was before, was a major blow. And now having this lifted is a win. But on climate, there's a major blow, because SCOTUS ruled on climate in a much different way, pretty much saying that there was the limitation of, you know, power, I guess, is the way to say that when it comes to the executive branch. And what about the legislative branch when we're talking about coal? Because remember, that was the whole thing, fossil fuels. And when fossil fuels, we would have clean, it would basically be clean. You know, it was like the Clean Air Act that was tied to that. So regulatory agencies and power. So the three liberal judges dissented, and the conservative judges stripped away some of that power from the EPA. So that was big. It might have been one of the major environmental challenges, maybe even of our time, that I can think of. And the immigration law was when the Trump administration imposed those restrictions on people trying to get asylum in the country, and rather than just let them in, they had to wait in Mexico for the hearing for a court to determine whether they were eligible to do that or not, enter the country and seek asylum. So it's the court giveth and taketh away as far as painting a picture for 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I guess that's the best way to put it. It's fireworks day week, whatever you want to call it, for sure, in Washington, D.C., because really, truly, this is before everybody takes off. Another thing for the Supreme Court to decide. Ketanji Brown Jackson was sworn in as the first black woman on the Supreme Court. So now you got four women who are going to serve simultaneously on the high court for the first time, because we haven't seen that before. So if you're keeping score, think about all the things that have happened. Guns, abortion, EPA decision, immigration. And there was plenty in between. Trust me, plenty in between. Gas and travel, that's the other thing that's on the minds of most of the people probably listening to this show. What's the common denominator? We all got to fill it up. Unless you're riding a bike, and there are some people that do that, that just don't drive. Or you have another mode of transportation. But if you have to fill up, you certainly have been feeling the hit to your wallet. You just have. Even if it's not quite at the highest level and you're getting more per gallon for your miles, right? But this is a country of trucks and SUVs and bigger cars. Yes, there are certainly smaller cars on the road, but that wasn't the direction that we were all headed. That's why in the pandemic, so much money was being offered for used cars, because that's what people wanted to drive and they couldn't get them. So now we look at gas that still has dropped down a few cents, but still is over $6 in most cases in California, and we're talking regular, and, you know, over $5 in many cases in the United States, some for, you know, upper $4 and 89 cents or whatever, but it's still quite high compared to last year. And this is the thing that I think will be part of the referendum on people that get elected. The frustration level is huge, and it is not tapering off at all. I don't see that in any of the conversations that I've had. In fact, a new poll came out. The vast majority of Americans across party lines, are unhappy with the state that the U.S. is in right now. An AP NORC survey that was released on Wednesday of this week found that 85% of adults say that things in the country are headed in the wrong direction. Just 14% believe things are going in the right direction. That's pretty pessimistic, much more pessimistic than in May. 78% said things were headed in the wrong direction. 21% that things were okay, headed in the right direction. So you look at that, 92% of Republicans, but 78% of Democrats dissatisfied. Boy, does that tell you something about President Joe Biden and his push, I guess, to run again for another term. 92% Republicans, 78% Democrats dissatisfied with the direction of the country. You also had that Reuters Ipsos poll that was released on Wednesday that found the same thing. The rising discontent that's out there, especially among Democrats. So Biden is not polling well. 38% of Americans approve of the job he's doing. 57% disapprove. If he wants to run, I think the Democrats, again, even though he's an incumbent president, I think the Democrats have some work to do. An inspiring story. Stephen McElprang joins us next. Wait till you hear what he's been through and what he's doing now.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days, you still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today. Very, very excited to introduce you to Stephen McElprang. He's written a book called The Hopabout. I think he is so inspiring. After what happened to him, how he really picked himself up and what he's done, and I think what he's going to do in the future is going to be absolutely amazing. And this book is one of the first starts. Stephen, thanks so much for coming on.
Kate, grateful to be here. Thank you so much.
So let's talk about what happened to you. Set that up for people that are listening, why you wrote the book and what happened to you.
See, where do we start here? So people can't see, but I'm missing both my legs. Well, most of one and then part of the other. And the book is, I think it's very relevant for what's going on right now because it has to do with opiates and the opioid epidemic. I mean, it's more than that because there's all these different problems that we have with different things. But I injured myself a lot. I hurt my back a lot. Got 3 back surgeries. And then, like I say, like a good American, I got strung out on enough pain pills to kill the Jackson 5. And I was thinking I was going to go into pain management then. I got a biology degree and I was teaching anatomy. I'm like, oh, I just need to get everybody on enough pain pills and then we could all be fixed. But it really just solves you from caring about life. And that's what it came to happen to me. A lot of things happened. I talk about it in the book because there's so much to it. But then the pills left me dead and bloated on top of my legs to get found in a coma 18 hours later, which going into the public speaking that you're talking about, like everything's perspective because I've realized that if I didn't come down, slide off the bed the way I did on top of my legs and cut the circulation off and be down in kind of a ball, my heart would have stopped and I would have been completely dead. But my legs actually, like I traded my legs for my life back. So in more of the ways than one, because that was what I needed to get off the pain pills as well. So, you know, you could look at everything as, oh, I'm a victim of the opioid epidemic and blah, blah, blah. But I don't see myself as a victim. I mean, being a victim is very helpless feeling. I don't know why anyone wants to. I don't want to have that circumstances are dictating me. I mean, I did get told by the doctors that you won't become addicted if you have pain, and I had plenty of pain, and I got very addicted. So that wasn't true. But I understand that. I mean, I take the responsibility in trying to move forward with my life because, you know, I woke up out of the coma and I had my knee, and then two more surgeries later, they took that, and I really thought I needed it, but I've come to find out that I don't. I haven't been able to find things out without it, and I smile and laugh a lot more now, even though I'm, you know, slowed down a few steps, but I have a different perspective, and I have my soul back, and I'm off the pain pills, so, I mean, it's worth it to me. It's hard. I mean, it's probably a pretty hard thing for people to comprehend because, you know, missing part of your body is kind of significant, but when... That's what I try to say. I say fear is the most crippling thing of all because when you're by fear of doing anything, then your brain's cut off and that controls all your body. So you're completely crippled. And now, you know, I've kind of been able to overcome most of my fears and things and I'm living a much happier life.
So tell us about that happens to you, and of course, get the book. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, The Hop About. You'll be able to hear even more about the story. Tell us about what happened afterwards. Tell us about now the things you've done, the things you've been able to do when you were like, okay, I'm going to overcome fear. I'm not going to live in my head. I'm not going to be a victim. What are some of the cool things that you've just done that you've lived?
Well, I went to rehab and I got off all the pills, which they, I'm not going to say people are good or bad at rehab because it helped me. It was a step, but then they still had me on a lot of pharmaceuticals and I finally just decided I needed to be off of all of them. And then kind of had a falling out of the rehab community because then I started using cannabis as the only thing I use for my pain, which I've had 19 surgeries and things. And I'll tell you what, from opiates to cannabis, the cannabis doesn't change your personality and your person and things. It just kind of helps mitigate the problems and you can deal with them. And then I sold my leg on eBay. I had a really expensive leg. I didn't like it. I didn't wear it. It was sitting in my closet. I'm like, I got this $30,000 leg in the closet that's doing nothing. So I'm like, somebody will probably want that. You know, they could put it to use. So I sold on eBay. And then I bought a car, and then I just wandered around the West on my disability on $700 a month. I would rideshare people off of Craigslist, because back then you could use Craigslist to rideshare, really. Now it's more like you go rideshare, and it's people have a listed taxi service. Like then it would be people, I'm going here, do you have a ride? You know, I got $20 for gas. And so I met a lot of really fascinating people that way. And the other thing I had that I called the National Cripple Pass is it cost me a leg and 10 toes. So it gets me to all the national parks for free. And so I would go around to all these national parks. I was kind of like it'd be funny because I'd do crazy things. Like the first thing in my story is the first chapter is Angel's Landing in Zion National Park, which has become pretty famous, which it's been famous, but now – you know, there's more Instagram photos of people got up there, so people more know about it. But I went and I hiked that, and no one expected to see a guy with one leg there, and I climbed up on the tip-top point. That's what I got here in my book.
On the cover,
playing it like guitar. And that was really fun because it was the first time I got out, and I got to see how much I actually influenced and impacted people because so many people told me that I wasn't going to do that last half mile because the last half mile, there's this chain linked, like straight drop offs of 1500 feet. Like I wasn't going to go past Scallops Point, but then I heard a one legged guy was doing it. So then I had to do it. And so hearing that, I mean, it was really great just to do it. But the fact that I was inspiring people to do things that they pushed their limits really said a lot to me that I needed to do more because that is, I don't know. The fact that I can do that is, it means a lot. So the fact if I don't do that, it really is a letdown, I think, to more than myself. It's a letdown to people all over because I've gone through a lot and if I don't use that to help people, it's really, this is for naught. I mean, because I haven't been through a lot of fun things, and I should turn them into positives, which they can totally do.
Yeah, and you have done that, obviously, and you talk about that in the book. And the book, again, is The Hopabout. We're speaking with Stephen McElprang, and you can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. What do you hope people take away from reading your story?
Well, because I'll show you in the book, I was figured it all out. That's why it's called The Hopabout. It's not, I've got it all figured out. it's, I went and I tried to, you know, I tried to learn more and more, and the more I learned, the more I realized I don't know since the book. But I learned a lot, and I put myself in all kinds of different situations with different people, all kinds of different kinds. And I come to really see that, you know, everybody, all of us, we're just trying to get by the best we know how and at our level. And so I, a lot of people, I hate these kind of people. I don't hate anybody. Like, everybody is really just a person trying to get by the best they know how. And I try to see what I can learn from them, what they can learn from me, and what I can share. And I went through, because, like, I went to, I don't know if people have heard it, it's called the Rainbow Gathering. It's I ended up at that. I didn't know what it was. I ended up at that. It's, you know, all these different people from the Rainbow family and just different places all over. Like, on the trail, I talk about trail angels because I would be vastly unprepared much of the time because I didn't have that much, but I'm like, I got to go. I got to get there. I got to go climb this mountain. And, like, I climbed Telescope Peak in Death Valley, which is 11,049 feet. It's 14 miles round trip. And I didn't have nearly enough water and different things that I did it, but I met these people. Oh, you don't have that here. They're just excited to see that I was there, which is really great. You know, if like, that's one thing I've realized now. I go to the grocery store and I go there with my head up and smiling, and it just makes people smile. And I could look at it like, oh, this is so horrible, or, you know, and I have lots of people throw valor at me all the time, which I'm not a veteran, so I have to like knock it down because they'll be telling me, thank you for your service, thank you for your service. So I'm like, no, I'm just a crazy person.
But that's great because, I mean, this is what you're telling people in the Hopabout's about that, that how you can overcome fear. How do you overcome fear? The things that you did are inspiring. There's no question about it. I mean, it's, you've done it. You've done it. And like I said, at the beginning of this, I can't wait to see where you go from here. Stephen McElprang, pick up the book. It's wonderful. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's been great having you. It's been fantastic, Kate.
Thanks, Stephen. We wish you the best. I can't wait to see what you do in the future.
Thank you, Kate.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
A former White House aide's testimony before the House panel investigating the Capitol attack indicated that the U.S. Secret Service may have had advance warning of the potential violence at the Capitol.
The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing."
Cassidy Hutchinson, a top deputy to then White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, told lawmakers that the security team guarded the then President Donald Trump and senior White House officials were aware there were serious threat posed by some descending on Washington, D.C. on January 6th. The Secret Service has denied the allegation that Trump went after an agent. This is USA Radio News. Tear gas or pepper spray was used on patrons at a popular nightclub in South Africa when more than a dozen teenagers mysteriously died there. An eyewitness told ABC News the tear gas suffocated many people. That's why they died. The South African Police Service has declined to comment on possible causes of death, citing the ongoing investigation. No arrests have been made. A city council meeting was held in Uvalde, Texas.
A special city council meeting happened in Uvalde, Texas, where 19 students and two teachers were murdered. Mayor Don McLaughlin says they're being frozen out by the district attorney, who is refusing to release information about the investigation.
She's the person that's holding all the keys to the kingdom. She's the one that's telling everybody they can't talk, but yet she'll go in the press and say, "I don't have an investigation going on."
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
So pleased to take you to Australia for a conversation with Dr. Ann Morgan. Her book, Different Ways of Being an Educator, Relational Practice. And I would say that this book is something that could apply to anyone, seriously, because there are such solid nuggets in this that I think teachers around the world can relate to, but also just people in general, especially in the times that we're in right now. So Dr. Morgan, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me, and please call me Anne.
Anne, what led you to this book? We were talking off the air, and I thought it was fascinating. It's worth really telling the listeners about it. What drew you to, first of all, this subject and writing about it?
Yeah, thanks, Kate. It's been a wonderful journey and opportunity. I've had a very rich and rewarding career as an educator, and probably early in my career, the opportunity to go and teach and be a learner in Borneo was just such an enriching and fantastic opportunity. And I experienced diversity there that I had not experienced. And I came home quite restless, and I ended up in a youth service in a city just a half an hour outside of Brisbane where I grew up and lived, and really encountered in that space young people who were really facing complex issues, poverty, intergenerational poverty, unemployment. Some were engaged in the juvenile justice system, rich cultural heritage, but were experiencing exclusion and racism at times in the system of schools. So it was such an eye-opener, and I found an opportunity to work with a diverse range of professionals as well. So I worked there for a few years, and then I travelled, had children, went back into teaching. But in the back of my mind, I thought, I reckon I'll end back in the flexi schools, was what they were called. And then in 2008, there was a part-time position, and I applied for it and ended up being able to study at the same time. I'm a tragic geek, love learning, and an opportunity arose to do a doctorate, and I was able to do it on educator identity and development in this extraordinary school called Flexi Schools, small schools with young people who had experienced exclusion from mainstream schooling and many complexities in their life, and yet they were extraordinary young people, very talented, very gifted, but had not had the opportunities I know that I had had. So when I finished, I was working with educators and supporting them in their practice and in their well-being, and I wanted to continue that work. But, of course, the network of schools grew quite significantly. Unfortunately, the number of students being excluded from mainstream schools has been increasing. So I thought I would love to get the key lessons of what I learned, and that was really rich. I interviewed educators and we did some reflective practice groups, so I was just as much a learner in that process as the staff that I worked with. I wanted something that would be really easy to dip into and out of, one page with a clear message, a little bit of a story, and then some reflective questions. And that was part of the learning, that relationships really matter in that space. If you want to build trust and connection with young people who have been disenfranchised, you need to put a different hat on and recognize that building relationships is an investment in learning. I actually think that's a reality wherever you go. I know my children loved their teachers that took an interest in them. Myself, I remember the teachers who were genuine in their relationships with the students and took an interest in us as people. So it's not rocket science, but it's particularly interesting how powerful that recipe for being an educator. I guess the other thing, Kate, was that if you want to consistently work in that space, sometimes it's very challenging and confronting for those of us who may have, or for any human being, but for those of us who have lived in privilege and opportunity our lives, it creates a whole new worldview, and you need to constantly be challenging yourself and asking, how do I think about this? How do I share power with young people? How do I respect their families and not demonize their families? They're doing their best. They want the best. They love their children just as much as we think we do, but they don't have resources or opportunities, perhaps, that those of us who are employed or live in a safe household or have a network of social connections and friendships and support that's so important to learning. So each part of the book has got a theme, recognizing the strength and agency of young people, listening to young people. There's a brief story on that page and a few reflective questions that can just help us remember that sometimes we need to step back and take another view and become a co-learner with young people rather than the teacher who knows everything and will tell them what they need, how to fix them, how to save them and rescue them. I don't think that's helpful. They need to be able to recognise their own agency and the strengths of their own dreams and visions for learning.
Yeah, and one of the things you share in the book, it's these stories, stories from practitioners, ways of working with young people. So you have the specific stories, and I think that is so fascinating. And you did you do that because you wanted to pinpoint, hey, here's one thing specifically that worked that will work?
Yes, and it will work on one day, the next day it might not. So you also, as an educator in that space, the second part of the book is also learning how to work with colleagues and having the freedom to admit mistakes and say, I really messed up in that class. I was really inappropriate in the way that I jumped down that student's neck, or I was really angry. And the questions are, what do you need to do when relationships have been broken? Do you go back and apologise to that young person and say, the way I spoke to you yesterday wasn't the way I want to show up and I'm sorry, can we start again? Now, I don't know, I've never seen young people completely ignore that. They might not respond immediately, but they will be very surprised, even in more mainstream traditional schools, because they're not used to teachers always sharing power and being models of how to be in right relationship. I want all of us to learn, me included, how to be more authentic, how to listen better, how to respect someone when I don't agree with their perspective, where we jump so quickly to judgment, or who do we love to hate, who's wrong and we're right, all of those polarizing ways of being. I think the world is crying out for a more collaborative, cooperative paradigm in our relationships, in our families, in our communities.
Boy, I couldn't agree more. And you're saying it in this conversation. By the way, the book, Different Ways of Being an Educator, Relational Practice, and it's by Ann Morgan. You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. What do you hope people take away? And again, we're weaving this into this, but what do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Well, I hope that people recognize that no matter how old you are, we are all innately geared and wired to learn. And I love neuroscience, I love psychology, and I think we are living in really exciting times, as well as spirituality. I think if we see the dignity in other human beings, even when they make mistakes, it can be life-changing for someone to actually believe in you, even if you have failed, if people are given another opportunity. Of course, there's consequences, but we're so punitive instead of restorative, particularly for young people. I don't know about in your country, but young people as young as 10 years old are being incarcerated. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander young people are being, even though they're 3% of the population, incarcerated at outrageous percentages, 80%, 90% in some states of our country. That's more a systemic issue rather than a reflection that these people are bad. These people in our country, and I know that you've had a similar history with your Native American population, we were saying before when we started chatting, we can do better. And what kind of community do we want? If we were able to get access to the funds that are spent on incarcerating young people and work with them differently in schools, things would change significantly. If schools were resourced, if teachers were valued, it would be incredible the differences we'd see. And we've learned from many researchers in your country. Dr. Stuart Ablon is an extraordinary man who's written a wonderful book called The School Discipline Fix, and he talks about collaborative problem solving. Our schools 2 years ago started weekly, fortnightly coaching and training in this way of problem solving together rather than immediately resorting to punishment. That's a novel idea, isn't it? Maybe we could avoid some of the conflicts globally if we engaged in greater diplomacy rather than immediate attack. And I know it's not always immediate, but it's a build-up over time. I guess a lot of these ideas are also resonant in the peace and nonviolence tradition. That's been something that I've also been really interested in, and in restorative practice in schools and in the juvenile justice system, that young people will make mistakes, and those who are more vulnerable because they cannot have access to resources, nor do their parents have access to funds to get a good lawyer, they are the ones who suffer the most. And incarceration, so often the issues are not criminal behaviour, but it could be the result of racism, or it could be the result of poverty, being in the wrong place at the wrong time. I don't know what it's like to be hungry or not have food to feed my children. These young people that go to the flexi schools, we feed them breakfast and lunch, and that might be sometimes the meals that they have, which is shocking in a country like Australia that is such a wealthy country. As wow. I said before, we can do better.
Wow. Ann Morgan, thank you. Different Ways of Being an Educator, Relational Practice. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate, for your time and your interest. I appreciate it.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
I'm about to give you a life-changing URL that if you will simply visit it and give these tax consultants a call, it will change your life. Whether you're a blue-collar worker, or whether you're a school teacher, or whether you're a scientist, or whether you're a millionaire, almost no one out there is taking advantage of legal, lawful tax loopholes. Go to gcntaxcut.com. It takes you right to American Tax Solutions, and they will give you an amazing preview of what they can do for you. gcntaxcut.com, gcntaxcut.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits, at least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Portugal for a conversation with Manuela Ribeira. Wow, her book, Giving Up is Not an Option. This is so powerful, this message. And I knew I was going to be excited to share her story with you. Manuela, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So take us through the reasons why you decided I'm going to write this book.
Well, at first, it wasn't supposed to be a book. I just started writing the story of my life as I had a very complicated life. I went through hell. I really did. Although I had a beautiful and amazing childhood, there was something that just turned my life upside down when I was 10 years of age. I really found out about a hidden truth till that age, and that just devastated me.
So tell us about that secret that you didn't know that I think some people can relate to and they can't get over it. And that's why the title of your book and what you talk about, giving up is not an option. Tell us about that.
Okay, so I recall it so clearly in my mind. That morning before I left to school, I was at the mirror and I was asking myself, who do I look like? My father, my mother. And then I said, no, none of them. And I just picked up my things and I went to school and I said, bye, Mom. And there I go. And that evening, they sat with me, my parents, and they told me that I wasn't their daughter, the biological daughter. So my mom was actually my aunt and my father was actually my uncle. But then they said something that created this PTSD. They told me that this was a family secret and I cannot talk about it to anyone. So from then onwards, my inner world collapsed. And I thought to myself, gosh, if my biological parents just gave me up, I must have something wrong with me. There must be something very, very wrong with me. And these guys will certainly give me up too. So from now on, I will be the best girl that they have ever seen. And I started being this introverted child, and I was the best in everything I did.
Wow. And how tough was it to carry that around in your heart?
Very much, because after that, I had some disorders. One of them would be every time I ate something, anything that I could eat, I would throw up, I would vomit. I couldn't keep anything inside. And my mother would take me to the doctor, but then I couldn't tell the doctor the truth. So I lost a lot of weight, a lot. And my mother was about to give up because I was 12 and I was underweighted. And then one of the doctors said that he couldn't do anything for me. They didn't understand what was going on. And then my mom said, well, there is something out there, a force bigger than me. Believe in it. Ask the force. Ask God. Ask Jesus. Ask anyone, but believe. They can cure you. That's exactly what I did. And after 6 months, I started feeling better.
Wow. So you overcome that, and then you end up, as you go through your life, you have this transformation, and you have a beautiful cover on your book. So giving up is not an option is perfect because it describes your story and what happened even as you went into adulthood. So tell us more about the book. Tell us what the book is really about.
Well, the bottom line of this book actually is I'm trying to get this message out there that you can leave your country, you can leave your relationship, you can leave your job, you can leave anything behind. You always have a different choice. You have a different path. That's your choice. You have the choice. One thing that you shouldn't do, and that is give up on life. Never give up on life. Because it's no use dying when you're 30 and getting buried at 80. And it's no use dying over something that you cannot control. But there is one thing you can control, and that's how you perceive life and how you can just get out of the timeline and get into another timeline and then just live and say yes to life.
Oh, that's beautiful. Say yes to life. So we're not going to tell everybody everything, but give us one little secret. People are listening. They're going through their own struggle. They were told not to share something, or they are embarrassed. They don't want to share anything. They feel humiliated, or they're afraid to share something that keeps them from being closer to people, and they're afraid to ask for help. What could somebody do right now?
Asking for help is the best thing you can do. Being ashamed, why? All of us are humans. All of us have our things. All of us have ups and downs. And if one doesn't hear you, go to another. But you really need to get that help. Don't hide behind a big brick wall. If you hide behind a brick wall, you will kill yourself doing it. And it's no use, because the world needs us. The world needs our voice. The world needs to know that we can do better than what we have done before. And no matter what your life looks like today, it can be much better. But if you don't try, if you don't take that little step, if you don't ask for help, then I guarantee you, you'll kill yourself.
So you didn't think you were going to write a book, and then you wrote it. How does it feel to actually have that book, to hold that book in your hands and to have done it?
I felt so fulfilled. I was so happy. At first, it was frightening. It was scary because I had to change some names and I had to change some dates because there are people, relatives, in fact, that are still alive. And just to make sure that the privacy wouldn't be given away, I changed the names and dates, even my birthday date, I changed some things. But then, after this, you know, just having the book in my hand and launching the book, self-publishing it, launching the book, and having so many people just saying, wow, if you can do it, I can do it too. And I have, and after that, I have coached women in difficulties, and I have helped them find another path, another way.
Wow. So when people want to find you, where can they go? You have a wonderful website. Tell us about your website.
Oh, my website. My website was something out of the blue. I was at this training, and this training took me a year because it was another certification that I've just added to all the ones I have. And just let me open a bracket here. I love studying. I love research. And I'm always onto new things, neuroscience and stuff. I like this a lot. And so a colleague of mine comes up to me and says, Manuela, you can't imagine what's going on with me. And I said, okay, I'm listening. And he goes on and he says, look, I have to build a website to have my certification. And everyone seems to have a website. And I don't know what to do because no one wants me to build a website. And I said, I do. I don't have one. So he says, oh, really? And I said, yeah. So he says, will you help me? And I said, well, I thank you. Yes. And we sat together and we just built out the web. And that's it. Just there.
Wow. So we come back to ultimately giving up is not an option. And what you hope people take away from reading it. What's your greatest hope?
My very, very, very greatest hope is that people start speaking up, is that especially women, you know, because this happens to men too, but especially women, they seem to be fragile, they seem to be afraid, they are shy, and they are ashamed. And I think they should not be ashamed. So my greatest hope is that if I go out there with my voice, they can too. If I can help, they can too. And I would love to see women just going out there and helping one another and saying, look, I've been there. I know what it's like. And just speak about themselves, because one thing we shouldn't really do is go up to another person and say, you should do this, you should do that. No, no one should do anything, because all of us have our divine timing and all of us are on our individual journey. So we can tell our experience and life story, and the other one will learn from it or not. If it's time for her to learn from it, I assure you, that person will learn from it and will start doing progress in her life, and she will ask for help.
Beautiful place to end this. The name of the book is Giving Up is Not an Option. Manuela Ribeiro, what a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much. Thanks for sharing.
I thank you. I thank you, Kate. Thank you for this opportunity. Great. Thank you so much.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.